stagnation is never your will. Same old, same old. That's not your will. That we're to ever be growing in you and in the likeness of your Son, Jesus. So God, help us this morning to take what you say to heart so that we can grow and actually do everything that is in your heart for us to do. Everything that's in your heart, oh God, for us to do. That we would be faithful stewards and actively pursue you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk to you today about the reality of influence. Yeah, the reality of influence. I had a phrase that I said to the Lord while I was in the car this past week, just driving and doing. And I said, God, I want my now to affect someone's future. I want my now to affect someone's future. I believe that was what Jesus actually lived, that his now on the earth, what he did, how he prayed, what his viewpoint was, affected people's futures. There were people that didn't understand him at the time, but we see later that when they remembered his words, it affected their future. Can y'all grasp what I just said? That no matter where you are right now, if you will grasp the words of God, it will affect your future. There is no way that that cannot happen. If you actually grasp what God says to you, you take it inside of you, you ponder it, you think upon what he's saying to you, it will affect your future for the kingdom of God. Because when God comes to you, it's because he's wanting, and when I say comes to you, it's almost like when you can be driving down the road, God has the right to interrupt your thoughts. And if you haven't given him that right and you won't surrender that, don't always be listening to music. It's great. I love it. But don't always be doing that. Give him a place where he can come in and talk to you. Give God room in your life for him to come speak to you. And some people say, that's what the word is for. Yes, the word, but he also is a spirit being, and so are we. And that our spirit has been made to be like his spirit. That's what he came to do. Our spirit was dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And he came and he made us alive unto God. Before that, you were dead to God. You were dead to the voice of God. It was about rules and regulations. Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't. That's what the law of Moses was. And the law was helpful in that it showed people that you cannot be like God by your own flesh. You will not do it. You can't honor him. You won't even want to. You won't remember what he said. You won't obey him. The law of Moses showed people you need something beyond you. And that's why Jesus came. But I want my now, the present, as I'm living right now, to affect someone's future. If we could live with that consciousness every day when you go to your job, when you go to work, when you're dealing with anybody, that something that you could say, an attitude maybe even, that you have about something. It can be a myriad of things. But let God speak to you about what that is for you. This is exactly what happened to the disciples. This is exactly what it was. Our life, at the moment, people might not get us. At the moment, they might not understand. Or they may misjudge us. That's what happened to Jesus. It was the same thing. They misunderstood him. They misjudged him. And ultimately, he gave his life for them. They couldn't kill him. He gave it. They nailed him to wood. They beat him up till he was unrecognizable as a human being. But they didn't have the power. He said, I lay my life down. No man takes it from me. And I will take it up again. And they can't stop that either. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are things we have to begin to see. We have to connect the dots. When you're reading the Bible, we've got to learn to connect the dots. And you've got to learn to connect the dots in your own life. The Lord showed me things about my own childhood. I'm going to share with you today. I don't share very much about my childhood. But I hope if anything, it will help you. I love my parents. I've always loved my parents. I will always honor my parents. Were they perfect people? No. They were not perfect people. My father was not saved when I was a child. He later was born again. He had a lot of issues from World War II, PTSD, all kinds of things they had to work through. When he came back from the war, he was not the same person that my mom knew that went. So his attitude, everything was different. So it was quite a journey. Neither one of them were saved at the time, so it's a miracle they made it at all. A lot of people didn't make it. They didn't make it. The separation from marriage was too long. There had been a lot of extramarital affairs and all kinds of things when people were in World War II. All kinds of things happened. And a lot of couples, they just couldn't. Eventually, it just fell apart. But the Lord has showed me things about my childhood that it affected me as a young person. Even after I came to the Lord, and I truly gave my life to him, it still was affecting me. One of them was that in my home, there was a lot of complaining, finding fault with. Oh, there was joy, there was that other. But this thing of, I don't know, it was it created an atmosphere in our home, is what happened. It created an atmosphere in our home that, as a child, I didn't like. I lived outside. I loved being outside. I felt so free when I was outside. And when I was outside, I was also free from an atmosphere that was there. I never realized how evil it was. You know, as a child, you don't know. You just know how you feel about something. You just, things you want to get close to or things you want to get away from. But you don't know really how to discern evil. And some people might say, well, that's kind of extreme, complaining. How can that be evil? Because it affects you. It affects everybody that's around you. It affects the whole mood. It affects the direction you're going to go. It affects everything about you. And so I took that into my adulthood as a young person. It was a grim outlook. It wasn't a positive outlook. I'm just saying this because I really had great parents. I mean, Mackie's met them. She knows. They were amazing people. But the war had so affected my dad. It had so traumatized him that he just always would see, not every time, but enough to where it registered in me. It's fine to complain. You can grow up about anything you want to, anytime you want to. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't matter. And I never really realized I had picked that up from him until I was an adult. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then on the other hand, I would see my mom doing dishes or something in the kitchen. She did all this homemade stuff like Sophie likes to do. That was my mom. She was, oh my goodness. Everybody always wanted her recipes for this and recipes for that. And she would say, and I would see her in the kitchen, my home Baptist mom, and she would raise her hands and she'd say, oh, it's a glorious day today. It's a glorious day today. And I would go in there and go, Mom, are you calling me? I would hear her voice in the house. And she said, just look outside. Look at this sun. Look how it's streaming right through those clouds. Do you see that, baby? Look at those trees swaying. It's like their hands are praising God. Do you see that? She had a vision of just praising God, just looking out the kitchen window while she's working. So there was this contrast in my home. But in my home, my father always had the final say-so. So the person who was really spiritual and on fire for God did not feel that she had say-so. And the negativity from the other side sometimes would be overwhelming, even for her. And for a long time, I did not realize how that had affected me. But one day I realized it had. It had affected me. Psalm 106:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever." That no matter what you're going through, he is good. His mercy is there for you. When my kids were little, I complained. I just complained about stuff. "Well, I don't see why we have to do that. Blah, 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 blah." That's complaining. Did you know that's really evil? It's an evil thing to complain. Not only are you currently contaminated by your thoughts, but you are contaminating the atmosphere for everyone around you. And it wasn't always that, but there was enough of it where it was like, oh boy, here we go again. Y'all understand? So you can mean well and not do well. You can mean well but not do well. Because if you're complaining, you're not doing well. And it's not like you have your head. People say, "Well, you can't go around with your head in the sand." Your head's not in the sand. You see what's going on. But your decision is, "But we're going to get this done. It's going to be okay. Praise God, we've got money to do it. We can do this, we can do that." But it's not like you're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses. I mean, you see, it's not like you deny, it's not a denial of reality what you're seeing. But sometimes it's good. You can look at something, but understand God has an answer for everything. But I wasn't taught any of this. I didn't grow up, I mean, it was just different. But wow, I'm telling you, when your eyes are really open to more and more and more, it is the best thing God can do for you. It is the best thing God can do for you, for your eyes to be open more and more and more, because then you see how things have affected you. And then you see what have you done with that has affected someone else. Because see, you are an influence. That's a reality. You are an influence in your world, wherever it are, whoever it is. Your attitudes about everything affect the people around you. What you say about what you see, hear, or think, it affects people around you. It's just wrong to complain. It's wrong to complain about people. It's wrong to complain about anything. Anything. Maybe you were treated poorly. And it's not like you don't state a fact. You're just not whining about it. Do you understand the difference? And said, "Well, how was work today?" "Well, work was great. Had a couple of yucky encounters with people, but you know what? I'm good. Look, I'm good." You know, so it doesn't come. So, you know, people don't walk away thinking, "Oh, bless their heart. Oh, wow." Or you get such an earful of their day, you think, "Will they ever shut up talking about that?" Because it's like a two-hour session, gripe session or something. You're just vomiting your feelings on people. It's just like you throw up on them. That's what that is. Oh, can we handle this today? I hope so. Because I have to deal with the nitty-gritty. And I don't have another reference from another person. I'm pulling from mine for this. It affected my whole young adult life. And it is a contaminant in your home you don't want. And once I saw that, I repented, you know, of all kinds of things. About where that took stuff. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His mercy endures forever. Colossians 3:15, and let. That means, and you have to allow and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We have been commanded by God's word to live in a place of thanks. Live in a place of thanks. He didn't say, unless you're in a bad situation. All the more reason to give thanks. You give thanks to God not because of your situation. You give thanks to God because of who He is. He is God. He's the same. He doesn't change. And there's something about like that. There's an atmosphere of God that you can have and maintain in your life. It's the moment you begin to complain, you'll feel a shift in that atmosphere. I promise you, you will. And it wasn't God that moved away from you. You moved away from Him by your disobedience because you became unthankful. You're not thanking God for the mess or the death of someone close to you or that you lost your job. You're thanking Him because no matter what goes on with you, He is the same. And it's a reminder to us that He is. That He is faithful, that He is true, that there's no situation you ever find yourself in that He can't pull you up out of and stand you up in front of it, and that thing will kneel to you. Our situation's got to get to where it kneels to us. We're not kneeling to it. You don't bow your knee to a situation. You bow your knee to God. God will see you in the midst of the situation, and you trust God to get you through the thing in victory. In victory. This is the good news of Jesus. This is what Jesus came to give us. Victory through Him, through what He suffered. He was blamed. He was complained about all the time. The Jews complained and complained and complained about Jesus. They hated Him. They wanted Him dead. They tried to set Him up over and over to be killed, that He would say something or break the law somehow, so that they had a justifiable reason in the eyes of the people, so that they could kill Him. When He was tempted in the wilderness, at the point of starvation, the devil came to tempt Him. What I noticed about Him is He just looked to the Word for the answer. He didn't trust His flesh to respond. He was in the middle of dying, really. Starvation. He was so hungry if he didn't get something to eat. And so the devil tempted Him with food. He said, if you're the Son of God, just turn these stones into bread. You can do it. I know you can do it if you're the Son of God. If you are. Do you know that the pride of life is what kills us? You got to prove that you know something. Got to prove to who? To whom? Better grammar. To whom do we need to prove it? God forbid that somebody think anything bad about us. We just couldn't handle it. Our world would just fall apart. Well, then your world's too fragile to begin with, and you're too full of yourself. How is the peace of God going to rule your heart if your focus is on things negative? What those people are saying or what those people are doing, or just it's just constant. Or a pain in your body. And so you make that pain in your body your whole day. It's just your whole day. See, the more you're involved with the lives of people and you go up into their world to help them, do you know what? You don't even remember that stuff. You get off into that, the Spirit of God comes in, you hadn't thought about that. You don't think about that. You're not thinking about you anymore. This is what Jesus did. He calls us to live the same kind of life He lived. You say, well, nobody can do that. They shouldn't keep you from trying. And the life that I now live is Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. As much as is in me. But you can't do it if you complain. If you're a griper, if you're a complainer. If you're finding fault with other people so you can drag their name through the mud. I saw some very adverse things happen in my family. And I believe a lot of it had to do with my dad's attitude and things he said and did. I don't think he was aware of what he was doing. I don't think he'd ever been taught the things I'm saying today. I'm trying to spare you this because your kids are going to live that negativity. If they're around it a lot, it would affect them. And it can be the person maybe that they wanted to get away from the most, but it still affected them. Y'all understand? Complaining steals your peace. Complaining is a thief and a robber. It steals something from you that was there just a minute ago and now it's not. Well, who took it? Your thoughts. What you yielded yourself to took it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if a person is down a lot, they're full of their self. They're full of themselves. Okay? Depression is a result of complaining because you're contaminating your own atmosphere everywhere you go. You're contaminating it by what you say, by what you're focused on. And I look in the, and I'm saying this because depression is so rampant in our culture today. And people don't understand. Your life is following the flow of your thoughts and what you're doing with them. See, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you can never go beyond what you just keep thinking over and over and over. And nobody can control that for you. Nobody can come in and adjust your thoughts. You have to make a decision. And the best way that you can make the decision is just to shift. Whenever you catch yourself, if you're in the habit of that, you have to catch yourself. You're not griping about people. And it's kind of like running people down, you know, that sort of thing. Because this is very common in the world system. And when you get around people in the world or on the job, they will kind of entice you. Let's go run them down together. Let's just talk about this person together in a very negative way. How about we do that? And it's something that we got to learn, run from it. Run from it. Don't engage those conversations. God loves people. And when you start running people down, you're trampling on something he loves. He loves people. He died for them just like he did you. So when we do that kind of thing with other people, we are trampling on something that God came to lift up. God's desire is to lift. Because he's a God of love. And he is rich, plenteous in mercy, the Bible says. He has all the mercy we need. He has all the mercy we need to change. And some people say, well, how would you ever tell anybody what's going on? I'm not talking about when you just have a conversation. You say, "How help me with this, because this is what's happening at my office, or this is what's happening in my marriage. What can I do?" And a lot of it is you're going to have to shift your focus to Jesus and who he is and not what that person said to you, all those kinds of things. You can shift your thoughts. You can. Jesus did it all the time. And if you look at his ministry, you'll see him doing this all the time. They have a conversation they think is going to go this way. And lo and behold, it goes this way because of Jesus. Because he said, I live to do the will of my Father who sent me. I only live to do the will of my Father who sent me, Jesus said. Wow, what would our life be if that was our attitude as well? I only live to do the will of my Father who sent me. Because he sends us to people. See, God is a sender. He sent Jesus. Jesus sent the disciples out. And then they sent more people out. We're sent out into the world. We have been sent by God into the world. And they don't need negativity. They don't need the griping. They don't need the complaining. They need real answers about a real God who loves them truly. When you feel your peace has left, and you become anxious, look and check and just see, is there a complaint in there somewhere? I'll give you an example. Well, God, how am I going to have time to do that? It's always a flat line. That's all I can tell you. It's a flat line when you talk to him like that. But when God tells you to do something, he already knows your schedule. He knows what you're doing already. And he says his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So that when you do something, you think, I don't see how that happened. I don't even see how I did that. Then you can say, God, you are so cool. You are so cool. You did that. I saw how you did that. And he'll begin to show you how he's even helping you to get through something. You didn't see how you were going to do it. You just obeyed. And I see this in the ministry of Jesus. He's going to go to a cross. Well, how do you get a prep for that? How do you train to be nailed to wood? You understand? I think of sometimes the mercy of God, we don't know what we're really in for. That was mercy for us. Jesus knew where he was headed. Right? And yet, there are people being persecuted right now all over the world because they love Jesus. Pray for persecuted Christians, please. Make that part of your daily prayer somehow. Protection for them, that they're hidden from the enemy. Hide them, God. Hide them. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Jesus came and laid his life down for us. There are times when you're going to lay yours down for other people. Maybe you had something you were going to do that day, and you don't see how you're going to get it done if you don't do it, but you see this other need. And then you find his grace is sufficient for you. His grace will be there. His grace is encapsulated in his will for you. When we're out of the will of God, we're also out of grace to do what we ended up doing. And a lot of times it doesn't go well. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying God's grace is never there for us. What I'm saying, but it operates through his will. He has great grace for people who are being persecuted. They have huge rewards too, by the way. They have great reward because they literally gave their life knowingly for Jesus, for the gospel. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So even your attitude affects your physical body. Your attitude about stuff affects how you're going to feel that day, what you're going to do. And it's kind of like anything negative that comes in your mind, it's not from God. God's not negative. God is very positive. I mean, he is peace. He is love. He is everything you need. So when you have negative thoughts come, you're going to have to cast those down as vain imaginations. The devil's trying to lure you and tempt you into conversations in your mind you don't need to have. Or with other people you don't need to have. So we got to quit throwing up on people. Quit throwing up on people. When I called you the other day, Suzanne, and we were talking, you were not throwing up. I always ask, you know, how are you doing, whatever. I'm trying to see, what do we need to do? What are we praying about right now, whatever. But God has shown me. You realize that. I mean, I've literally seen you. I've literally seen you. And I know it's been really hard. But if you were around Suzanne, you won't pick that up off of her. You don't pick that up off her, how hard things have been. What it's been like for her to lose her husband, for her kids to lose their stepdad, and for her mom to lose her husband, all within, what was it, a year and a half or something, all of it? Within 6 months, yeah. In six months. And everything she's had to juggle and do. Now, there's some people that would have had that and just, that we all their whole mood and everything would have been set by that, but not Suzanne. And I'm not saying she hasn't had some hard moments. I'm just saying she's not throwing up on you. Do y'all understand? And it doesn't mean she's being fake. This isn't being fake. It's not a denial of reality. It's not. You're doing something with the reality that God told you to do is what you're doing. So you take that reality, and then you take the word of God And all of a sudden, the way you're looking at it changes completely. And now you're stepping into a new zone. I believe our gratitude affects our altitude. I don't think you can keep moving up in God with a crummy attitude. And I think when you complain, you're always griping about stuff. It isn't that you acknowledge that you have a busy day, but then you have a busy day and you go, yeah, and I just hate doing that, or I just can't stand doing this. And, you know, I hate to do the reports, or I hate, you know, that, y'all understand what I'm saying? It's a fine line you can cross, but then you cross it. And when you've crossed it, then you're throwing up on everybody. How are you doing? I've got a busy day. Praise God, he's going to help me get this done. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but he always comes through. And you're just off and going. That enough said, right? Well, I'll pray for you then. But they don't have to know what all it was, all the nitty-gritty. Be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Have a thankful attitude. Live in a place of gratitude. Live in that place. All through the scriptures, we don't see Jesus complaining. Do you see a place where Jesus is griping? And he's telling the disciples, well, I don't know what we're going to do because, you know, those hypocrites, they all want me dead. So we need to really buckle under. Watch your back, guys, you know. I mean, you don't see him you don't see him say anything like that. See, but and yet he knew the whole time, I'm fixing to die for you and you and you and everybody else. He knew all that. And you'd think, you know, that at some point that he would hope that they would catch on. And he said, I tell you what, y'all wait. Y'all don't go do anything. I'm going to come back, but y'all wait. Y'all wait. Go to an upper room. It's been reserved for you. Go to that upper and tarry, wait. Because you will be endued with power from on high. You're going to be endued with this power. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He's going to come and indwell you. He's going to take of what is mine and he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to take of what is of me and he's going to give you revelation about it that you've never had before. You're going to see things that you didn't see when you were with me. But having him is better than me staying. Because I could only be as a person in one place at one time, even though he was God in the flesh. He was bound by the flesh. But the Holy Spirit can be in all these people at the same time. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's God. Jesus was God on foot, showing us the perfect will of God and what God is really like. So when you see the patience of Jesus, you see the love of Jesus, for those who had been so beaten up by life, the outcast, those that were shunned, and yes, even rich young rulers. He made no distinction whether they had money or not either. And then he calls us to be that in the earth. If you complain, you can't get there. If you gripe about your situation. I'm talking about a fussy attitude. I'm not talking about denying, you know, that you have too many things on your list, like there's literally not enough hours of the day to do it. But I have found you can. God will help you. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Get the word of God in on your tongue, just like it was with Jesus. So when somebody came at him with something, he had a ready answer for them, for all those. Be thankful all through the scriptures. It's all through there. We're called to live the Jesus life. Complaining draws other complainers to you. Birds of a feather flock together. So people who gripe a lot, they only really want to be around people who will gripe a lot. Have you noticed that? If they like to gripe, they don't like being around cheerful people. Not too long. We just do frisky form. You know, you're talking about good things. Like, wow, I had a day. You wouldn't believe what God told me yesterday. They don't want to hear that. They want to talk about the pain in their body and what the latest doctor's report is. And they compare their notes. Well, what are you taking for yours? Oh, I tried that. That didn't do me any good. There's probably nothing going to ever help me. That's y'all understand. And that's the throw up. You may have family members, and they're just throwing up on you all the time. Thank God you have this special cleansing that's all around you so that it doesn't get down into you. You're not soiled. Don't worry about it. If you get soiled, it's up to you. It's only up to you because Jesus is your cleaner. Complaining draws other complainers. And then all of a sudden you find you're complaining about the complainer. Well, they're just always griping. No matter what we do, they got something negative to say about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't tell me I'm the only one who ever had that experience. All right. Y'all understand? So you can complain about the complainers. Well, if you want a church full of complainers, complain. And then you'll have people who are never happy. They're never satisfied. The chairs aren't just right. The temperature's not just right. The music is too whatever. We don't have this. We don't. You'll find that that's going to be all throughout the church. You'll wonder, where does it come from? The people who are there. The people who are there. They create it. This is not the sermon you usually hand out to friends, is it? Complaining is ungodly. Complaining is ungodly. When you complain, you are not like your Father. You are not like God. We're not talking about ignoring real problems and issues, things that need to be repaired or fixed or adjusted in some way. I think you understand what I'm talking about. It's that little edge where you just want somebody to know that you're being mistreated. I'm just being so mistreated. Or family members. You know, you want to tell another family member what somebody said because it was so hurtful or damaging or whatever. And God says, quit throwing up. Quit throwing up. Quit throwing up on people. Complaining is just griping or sometimes even slandering someone's character or their motives. I've heard people complain, and I said, well, how do you know that's what they thought? Well, but how do you know that that's what they were thinking when they said that? And a lot of times people project how they would say it, and they assume you're like them. Really quiet in here, really quiet. But I've seen that happen a lot. They're assuming that you would have the same attitude that they're going to have. And when you don't, they're offended. Well, what's wrong with you? I go, I don't see it that way. And I don't think that's the way they meant it. I think that's the way you took it, but I don't think that's what they meant. Well, then that's a war zone right there because now they don't have a right to complain. Well, they wanted to complain. How to win friends and influence people. Yep. So it's just kind of a way to gripe. Greet people with a smile. Smile. Not a smirk, a smile. People need your smile. Did you know that? They really do. People go through really hard things. And what I've noticed is the people who talk the least about it are the ones who really need a smile. They're having to walk a path. Sometimes they didn't want to walk. It was a path sometimes that came out of necessity, hardships, and it's been a hard path for them. And yet, they refuse to give in to the pressure of it. And so when they meet people, they smile generously. Be an influencer for Jesus. You are whether you want to be or not. It's just a matter of what kind of influence are you having. You're influencing your family. When God gave me a revelation of this, I quit complaining about anything. Mom, I just think that's too much. I go, it is, and I'm going to be fine. It is, and I'm going to be fine. I don't know. This is what I do. And I don't know. All I know is I'm not sick. I'm good, you know. But you have to know the reality of your influence. You are an influencer. You might not have said, well, I signed up to be an influencer. The day you gave your life to Jesus, you sure did. You sure did. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, you were given a job by God to do, and part of your job is to influence other people about the reality of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Tell his story, not yours. Learn to tell his story. People don't need to know what all you've gone through. This is why I focus so little on my testimony. In the long run, it really doesn't matter, does it? Because we all have to be made brand new through Jesus. Doesn't really matter what it was. What hurt you? Those people? We all end up at the foot of the cross. We all have to have the same grace. If it was just one thing, just one little lie, you would not go to heaven apart from Jesus. You're not going to go to heaven because you're better than the next person or the next person. You're not going to go to heaven because you go to church. You're not going to go to heaven because you read the Word of God. You're going to go to heaven because you received a Savior that died in your place for sin. He died in your place. Your name was on the cross with Him. God, who knows all and all, the past, present, future. So it's not your works. It was His. You live out of what Jesus did, not what you do for Him, what He already did for you and accomplished in you. That's what you're living for. And you want people to know they can too. You might be better than the next person in your own eyes. Well, I don't cuss, or I don't do, or I don't, you know, I do that, did, well, you have your list of what you think is a good person. You can be a good person and go to hell. You could never say a curse word and you could go straight to hell. Because if any of it has to do with your own merit, you don't understand salvation. You don't understand what it was. That's what grace is. It's unmerited favor. It's unmerited. There was nothing you could do to merit the grace of God. He just is a graceful God. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. Oh, and how He reaches out to just say, I will help you. I will help you. Quit worrying about your sin. Give your life to me. Give your life to me. I will come in. You can get in my word and now you'll finally understand it. You can begin to understand the word of God if you actually quit making it about you and make it about Him. Because He will reveal Himself to you through these pages. Be an influencer. Let His joy flow through you to other people. Let that be the atmosphere where you can laugh at silly things. You can just laugh at silly things. You can laugh at your own mistakes. You can laugh at your blunders. I love God sits in the heavens and laughs. Let's laugh with Him. Laugh with God. He loves you. He doesn't want you down on yourself. He doesn't want you worried. He doesn't even want you worried about how you're witnessing or not witnessing. He doesn't want you to worry. Don't even make witnessing about you. Don't make it about you. We have a tendency even like, oh, well, I don't know enough to witness. You're making it about you now, still. At some point, when are we really died? Yet I'm crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's like we've got to be died to ourselves. It's the hardest death you'll ever die. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do is to die to you. And what I've discovered is, you know, I don't have to worry about what people are thinking or doing, whatever. I mean, just me doing that every day is a lot. You have to crucify your flesh. Your flesh wants to live and be big. Ooh, I'm out here. Come on, let's do what I want to do. Come on. Oh, I'm too tired to do that. Whatever it is. And I know I've said it so many times. How do we spell ministry? W-R-K. And Jesus said, and the works that I do, you will do also. Do you know how tired he got sometimes in that human body he was in? And he would walk so far, and then when he gets there, there's crowds of people. They heard he was coming. And really all he wanted was something to eat and to sit down somewhere. He's called us to live a life abandoned to him. I mean, complete abandon. Abandonment to him. Just complete. There are people who need you. You may be in a position of influence in your job, in your family system, wherever God has you, you're to be an influencer. We can't make it about us and him at the same time. The hardest death you'll ever die will be to yourself and what people think of you. It will be the sweetest death you've ever known. Once you do it. But you'll have to do it over and over and over. It's an ongoing thing. Because we really, really want to be accepted. We want to be liked. We want to be popular. All these different things. That's the system of the world. I'm not of this world. And as best I know, I'm getting to where I really don't care. I really don't care. Because when I stand before him, all I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm here to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you there this morning? Be a servant of Jesus Christ. Because see, you can serve yourself or you can serve him, but you can't do both. But he came and served you first. And he showed you how. And I'm telling you, heaven is a real place and the rewards are for real. We will stand before this one with him and with whom we have to do, the Bible says. We will stand before him. I want to hear, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. We work while it's day because the night is coming when no man can work. And so what are we going to do? We're going to do all we can do while we're here. So why don't we crank it up a notch? Let's just crank it up a notch and say, I'm going to do all I can while I'm here. I'm going to speak about Jesus, about his love. If they like it, okay. If they don't, okay. And then do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. You will attract people to Jesus, and the people who don't want Jesus will start leaving you alone. They'll just leave you alone. And you'll still be better off because you'll be in the company of a king all the time. Amen. Y'all stand up, please. I don't know if this sermon hit home with anybody in here, but I hear you back there. But I hope it did. Because what I've been saying today can rock your world. And I hope it does. Because the revelation of it rocked mine. And I've been working on it and working on it and working on it. You know, we're never perfect. There's always something that we can be better at. We can do better. We can be more positive. We can be more like Jesus. Nobody ever arrives. But wow, it doesn't mean I'm not shooting for the goal. To not shoot for the goal, it just means you have made friends with misery. You've just made friends with misery while you're here. And the life that I now live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This is what the gospel, these are the people who turned the world upside down. they love not their lives even unto death. I see this as really what's required. I don't see anything less. Not for real Christianity. You can go and you can sit in air-conditioned rooms. You can hear a little sermonette, point one, point two, point three. You can do that over and over and over and never change. Because, see, those things don't make you surrender. Surrender is voluntary. God doesn't make you surrender. He invites you. He woos you. He draws you. I can't imagine being here, a person being on the planet their whole life and not really knowing intimacy with God. How grieved he must be. Dear God, let it not be us. And you can have more intimate times with God than what you've been having. You've had some wonderful times, I'm telling you. It will increase. The more you can die to yourself, the more you can just not complain about your lot in life, the more you can just encourage other people, it can change faster. Because God will give you more than what you can actually handle. So God, I just praise you this morning for these precious people who are here. This has been a kind of a solemn word. I understand that. But I see God really doing business with the church at large in America. Somewhere America lost her first love. It just cannot be us. It won't be me. It will not be me. It will not be me. And you have to make that your decision too. It will not be me. I'm going to be the most positive person. I'm going to see what God's wanting to do, not what things are. I'm going to look at that. And I've been doing that. And I love all our chairs. I love all the stuff that's happening up there. I mean, I see God, you know, because I know there's something he really wants to do here. We've known this. And it's like it's almost like I can begin to like taste it, you know, in the atmosphere. So be faithful. Be faithful in all your doings. In all your doings, just be faithful to God. And if you miss it, don't beat yourself up either. It's so pointless. He's paid for that sin. God doesn't love you any less or any more. But it will affect your love for God when you sin and you don't obey. It affects you. It affects you a lot. And it affects the people in your world because you're going to end up complaining. Because the whole world system does that. It's part of the human nature. So God, I thank you for your words of life today. I thank you, God, for your kindness. And if you do not know Jesus, I invite you this morning to know this one who died in your place for your sin. You are not going to go to heaven because you do everything right. Because that's even in your own opinion. You go if you know Jesus. If you believe he really was the Son of God. He was God on foot on this planet who died in your place, because there's a price for sin. There is a punishment for sin. And we don't have the law of Moses anymore. We're not under that covenant. It was fulfilled through Jesus. And we have a new and better covenant now. It's a covenant of grace. Jesus said, I took care of that for you on the cross. Just believe me. Believe I did that for you. And then you make him your Lord. And you begin to do his bidding in the earth. It's so simple. People are stepping all over it. But it's very simple. It's not what you do for God. It's what he already did for you. And then he empowers you to live the life he called you to live. Because without the Holy Ghost, you can't do it. Without the Spirit of God in you, you cannot do this. This is why his own disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. I hope you'll do that this morning. Do it right now. Lord, I believe what she's saying. Just say it. Lord, I believe what she's saying. I believe that you came and died for my sins. I know I sin. I know I do things I shouldn't do. And I feel convicted about it. But God, I've tried and tried to defeat it, and I just haven't been able to do it. And so it makes me feel distant from you. Like, I can't go to church and be with those people because I've got this sin. All the more reason to come. You won't be perfect when you receive Jesus, but you receive the perfect one who died for your sins. And he will teach you as you read your word. Come study with us. Come learn. And you will fall in love with the one who loves you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I won't even relax my hold on you. I've got you. And I love you. And I have a place I've prepared for you. That when you die, you could be with me forever. Because that was his heart. That's what God wanted to begin with. He wants to hang out with you. To him, you're wonderful. You're special. He made you. He has plans for you that are better than anything you'll ever come up with your whole life. Don't refuse him. Don't refuse him. Let him come help you. Amen.
Turn to me. You have cast your gaze to another. You have been enticed to gaze the horizon as if something else could satisfy, something else that could fill the void. You know the truth, but you stubbornly want your own way. But that is a deception. If you are serving your fleshly desires, you are serving the evil one. I am gentle, loving, and kind. I am patiently waiting for you to turn to your first love. Yes, you have given me everything. Yes, you have to give me everything, but you will gain. What you will gain is beyond comprehension. There is no comparison to what is available through surrender to the temporary pleasures the world offers. For what the world offers always leads to death. What I offer always leads to life. Let go of whatever has you bound. Free yourself. You have always held the keys to your chains, but you have refused to use it because you have listened to the lie that surrender is weakness. I am waiting. Give me your whole heart. I have already given you mine.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I also invite you, if you're not praying in the Holy Ghost very much, you need to pray in the Holy Spirit more than you pray in English. You really do. To be able to do what I'm talking about, you'll need to do that. I said, well, it's so hard to get started. Well, then start. You don't have to have an atmosphere for it. You are the atmosphere for it. Create the atmosphere you want to live in. Create it. You can create it with your time with God and your prayer life to God. You're not at the mercy of other people's atmosphere. Learn to live in this bubble with Jesus. It's a wonderful bubble to be in. It really is. Where you just made up your mind, I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. Well, people might think, okay. Well, people might say, okay. Whatever it is. Okay. Okay. Whatever. And love one another. Love one another with the Jesus kind of love. And love people who are awful to you with Jesus kind of love. Say, God, give me love for, you might have somebody in mind. God, give me love for that person. That's a hard one for me. That's a hard one for me. God, give me love for that person. They're like sandpaper for me. Oh, just like rough, raw sandpaper. Like it's almost painful sometimes to be around them. God, give me love for them. And let me walk. Let me walk in your joy in their presence always. Let me become their newest attraction because of you. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. Anybody want prayer this morning? Today's Mission Sunday? What? That's right, Brother George. But who's counting? Okay, Mission Sunday today. Happy birthday to you.